All right, back on the Young Turks, checking in with you guys. All right, we already have some votes in on the Chuck Todd poll. And the two leading choices so far is unwitting tool of the establishment and witting tool of the establishment. So go vote at tytnetwork.com/Chuck. Clever Name Here writes in on that same story, I'm goddamn proud to be the quote unquote problem on the left. And by the way, they say, no, the mainstream media has no point of view. We're totally unbiased. Mm-hmm. But Bernie Sanders is the problem on the left. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I have no perspective. What do you mean? You guys are biased. Okay, anyways, Matt Brownfield says, Hillary and establishment Democrats ruthlessly attack Bernie, progressives and base. But sure, the most popular politician in the country is hurting the party. Just think about the lack of logic of that. That is so stunning. All right, Casper, don't we have good news about us?
We do have good news about us, and I'm going to tell you right about it. Tell you about it right now. Okay. That's what I meant.
Yes.
Wow. All right, so the Young Turks have been nominated for a Streamy, and the only way that we can win in this category, Show of the Year, is if you guys vote for us. As always, we need TYT Army to back us up, support us, and help us win this award. Now, the way that you vote is actually very easy. All you need to do is cast a vote by tweeting using the hashtag TYT for Streamies, and it obviously has to be a public Twitter account with a public tweet. And you can tweet once a day, every day, up until the end of voting. So you can start right now. And if you can vote for us, if you want to vote for us, it would be greatly appreciated. And also, don't forget the fact that Pop Trigger has a show called Murder with Friends that also got nominated for a Streamy. And so you can also vote for that. Same way, use the hashtag Streamies. Make sure you include the Young Turks and Pop Trigger in that tweet just to show us a little love.
Yeah, so at the Young Turks, hashtag Streamies, and at Pop Trigger, hashtag Streamies. They're up for nonfiction series for Murder with Friends. We're also up for news and culture for the Young Turks. So Show of the Year and news and culture show for Streamies. So thank you guys. Thanks for basically getting us nominated. And if you guys do this, and we can actually win. And retweets count. TYT Army is obviously way too strong. Let's go get some more awards and rub it in the right wing's face. Okay, what's next?
All right. Earlier this week, we covered a story regarding Congress passing a bill that urged Donald Trump to condemn white supremacists in the country. Now, interestingly enough, today Donald Trump decided to double down on statements that he made equating Antifa or counter-protesters during the Charlottesville rally to those white supremacists that he's been asked to condemn. So he was speaking to Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. He is the only black Republican senator, and he does not agree with Donald Trump equating the two sides. And so he wanted to kind of confront him about it. And unfortunately, again, Donald Trump decided to double down on his previous statements. So let me tell you what those statements were. He said, especially in light of the advent of Antifa, he used the word advent. I'm proud of him. Wow.
He also used the word Antifa.
So he said, especially in light of the advent of Antifa, if you look at what's going on there, you have some pretty bad dudes on the other side also. He continued to say, now because of what's happened since then with Antifa, you look at really what's happened since Charlottesville. A lot of people are saying, in fact, a lot of people have actually written, gee, Trump might have a point. I said, you've got some very bad people on the other side, which is true.
Okay, no, a lot of people haven't said that. Breitbart and other white nationalists have said that. And yeah, since you're a white nationalist, you read the other white nationalist crap. And shockingly enough, they agree with you that white supremacy is awesome. So he's like, you know that other people don't like Antifa either. My right-wing friends. Look, and what you think of Antifa is a different issue. As Tim Scott, the Republican from South Carolina, also pointed out. He's like, no, in the case of Charlottesville, what happened was enormously clear. There were guys chanting Nazi chants like blood and soil, and the Jews will not replace us. They did the equivalent of a Klan rally with torches, just like the Klan used to do in the South. And then they ran over a counter protester and murdered her. So at least the guy who was charged did, and he was an avowed neo-Nazi. So that one is not both sides do it, and not remotely. It is really as simple a case as you can possibly have. If you can't condemn people chanting Nazi chants with Klan torches, murdering people in America, and you have to say, well, no, no, equally guilty, both sides do it. There's something, well, we think wrong with you, but you and your friends who you read think, no, there's nothing wrong at all. Yeah, we're white nationalists, so we do this, and then we don't like the other guys who are anti-fascist.
Yeah, it's amazing. He'll continue doubling down. It is what it is. He's not going to change his mind about that. And for anyone else who likes to equate the two, I mean, you're calling Antifa, which, by the way, in some cases doesn't behave the way that it should. Like, I'm keeping it real. I think in some cases Antifa does deserve criticism when things do get physical or violent. I don't care what the group is, they deserve criticism. Don't get violent. You are being counterproductive. However, again, to equate those two sides is so incredibly ridiculous when one side murdered someone and the other side did not.
And by the way, look, I think that violence in the name of anti-fascism is not a great idea, and I know they think that that it is. They're like, well, they're fascists. We have to fight them fire with fire. No, that's hatred only breeds more hatred. Anyway, we can get into quoting different sides here, but fascists and anti-fascists are not equal. One side is in favor of fascism, the other side is opposed to fascism. But for guys like Trump, that actually is 50-50. They're like, fascism, not fascism, I don't know. Like, and that's an open question for him. That's why he keeps saying it. The other reason he says it is because he can't help himself. Yeah. He's a really dumb guy, and he doesn't know that this causes political damage. And so,
does it cause political damage though?
Yes, Democrats just won a state race in Oklahoma by 20 points. They had lost that same race just a little while ago by 20 points. It's a 40 point swing in the middle of Oklahoma. It causes damage. But he thinks, well, I don't know what you're talking about. All the white nationalists around me totally agree. Anti-fascists are terrible. And so both sides do it. But he can't help himself. He doubles down, he keeps on digging because he's not smart enough to know to not dig.
And yesterday we did the story of the ESPN host, Jamil, who made some statements on Twitter about how Trump is a white supremacist. Sarah Huckabee Sanders responded back saying that it was outrageous and it was a fireable offense. But what do you think he is? Like, if you can't tell the truth about the president, then what can you do? And also, isn't that the type of freedom of speech that you guys are saying you want to protect? Right? Aren't you saying that we shouldn't fire people simply because you disagree with them? Oh, that only applies to people who spew conservative hate. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
All right, what's next?
Notorious pharma bro Martin Shkreli is now in jail. Now, he was out on bond and he was supposed to wait until his sentencing for securities fraud. However, because of something that he posted on social media, the judge decided, no more bail for you. You're going back to jail. So this is a pretty incredible story. He put out a post on Facebook that said the following. The Clinton Foundation is willing to kill to protect its secrets. So the HRC's book tour, tried to grab a hair from her. I must confirm the sequences I have. We'll pay $5,000 per hair obtained from Hillary Clinton. Payment after the sequence matches. Good luck. Patrollers. Okay. So you can't put that out there, obviously. You can't offer a reward to someone to put their hands on someone else or to assault someone else. And luckily, the judge in this case realized that. It's U.S. District Judge Kiyo Matsumoto. And Matsumoto ruled that Shkreli's September 4th post showed he posed a danger to the public. She rejected arguments by his lawyer, Benjamin Brofman, that the post was protected free speech. In fact, she said, this is a solicitation of assault in exchange for money. That is not protected by the First Amendment.
No, but I bet you that a lot of right-wingers, and maybe even the majority of right-wingers, don't understand that simple concept.
You can't put your hands on someone. You can't put your hands on someone. You can't offer a reward to someone who puts their hands on someone else without consent. Like, if you don't understand that, you're just a dumb person.
No, that's right. But they think, what do you mean? I'm just talking. No, but all the amendments are not unlimited. The Second Amendment is not unlimited. I know you think it is, but you actually can't buy a tank and drive it through your local town and, you know, and fire it. And it's, you don't have an unlimited right to speech either. Freedom of speech is incredibly important. It is the cornerstone of our democracy. But you can't libel people. You can't slander them. You can't
incite violence.
You know, the old example, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't say, hey, I'll give you $100 to go murder that guy. That's not, hey, I'm just talking. No, that is a solicitation for murder. So, and that is deeply illegal. So is solicitation for assault. I have to explain this to people because the right wingers are really not that bright. Mm-hmm. And they get seduced by really simplistic arguments like, what? Those are words. Words must be always awesome. If the right winger says, if a left winger says it, they should be fired from ESPN. But if the right wing says it, it's great and protected under all conditions. That's not true. You can't pay people to assault others.
Exactly. So as a result, he will be in custody until his sentencing. Now, for the charges that he was convicted of, which again was defrauding investors, he is facing up to 20 years in prison. It's unlikely that he'll be sentenced to 20 years in prison, but as of now, he is behind bars, and in January is when the judge will hand down the sentencing. I'm guessing his latest, you know, debacle is not going to help with the sentencing. Let's just keep it real.
Yeah. No, this guy, I know he loves the attention and he keeps trying to grab the spotlight and he thinks it's clever. But dude, you're in prison now. It's not that clever to be in prison. So, and he keeps changing his story about whether he's rich or not. Reminds me of someone I know who's now unfortunately in the White House, who also might be in prison one day. Anyway, he says he's fabulously wealthy and doesn't need anybody's money, that he's desperately trying to sell a Wu-Tang Clan album that his lawyer says is worthless because he says, oh my God, my poor client, he has no money, poor Martin Shkreli. And Shkreli comes out and goes, oh yeah, this thing's worth $1 million and I'm worth $70 million. And so he's, again, since he's a stupid, stupid right winger, he thinks there are no rules and there are no laws. And to be fair to them, they've been enabled by Trump, who said Sheriff Joe did not listen to a federal judge who said you must follow the law. And Joe Arpaio said, I'm not going to follow the law. And then Trump pardoned him.
Right.
Because they don't believe in the rule of law.
That's right.
So Shkreli says, so what? It's Hillary Clinton. Can't we do anything we want to her? I made up an insane conspiracy theory about how they kill people or whatever. So just grab her hair. Are you insane? Of course you belong in prison.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, we got to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, some controversy in a Kentucky school. We'll give you the details on that and more. Come right back.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Heidi Dotson and Harry Woodward are our members of the day. You guys rock. Become a member, get the whole show, watch it anytime you want, download it, stream it, no commercials. TYTnetwork.com/join, you knew it.
We had one of the best post-game shows of all time yesterday.
Of all time.
It was me, Brett, and JR, and it got personal. It got real personal.
Really?
We talked about relationship issues.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. White shirts. What are my thoughts? You don't want to miss it.
Okay. In fact, Karina Hunter says, regarding the boy in the dress, why assume he's trans? Maybe he's just a kid who wanted to wear a dress. Who cares? Love the show. I hope JR is on the post game also. And Karina, you got your wish. He was yesterday, and it was apparently so much fun. It was bananas. But luckily, I'm a member, so I'm going to go back and check out yesterday's post.
You should. I think you'd like it.
All right, tytnetwork.com/join. And Karina wrote that in on Super Chat on YouTube. All right, I'm going to read two tweets because they're funny. Heiserberg says, pretty sure most right wingers think Antifa was a 90s rapper, and it's Queen Antifa. I like it. I think that's probably true. And and the Mad Lib says, I predict the cost of lube in Shkreli's prison block will go up by 5,000%.
Oh.
That's a good reference to him jacking up prices by 5,000% on the drugs. Nice job, Mad Lib. Okay, forward.
All right. A Transylvania student in Kentucky has been disenrolled from the university that he's been going to because of the fact that he thought it would be a good idea to harass one of his peers on social media because she happens to be a dreamer. Now, Taylor Ragg is the name of the guy who decided it was a good idea to harass a fellow student. Ragg posted a picture of senior Paola Garcia on Facebook in August saying, quote, "Everyone go report this illegal at my school," bragging about breaking the law. So here's a screenshot of what was put out there. "Everyone go report this illegal." Okay, and then he also provides a photo of Paola. Now, things got really bad when she started receiving threatening messages from all sorts of people. And so she went to administrators and hoped that they would have some sort of solution. She claims that at first they didn't do anything about it. And so she took matters into her own hands and she published a 6-minute long YouTube video. And we have a portion of it for you. Let's take a quick look. Okay. We don't have it right now, but that's okay. In the video, she was extremely upset. She was crying and she talked about some of the threatening messages that she got. Just to give you a few examples, someone had written in and said that, you know, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know. Okay, well, anyway, after that video was published, the university actually did take some action, and they are not disclosing exactly what they did, whether they expelled him or he decided to leave the school on his own. I'm guessing, and this is speculation, that they probably expelled him. But here's what Paola had to say. "I don't have to walk across the graduation stage with him, but I also feel that this isn't over yet." Ragg's only response to a request for comment on Tuesday was to say that the Herald Leader, which has been covering this story, is quote, fake news. He has since taken down his Facebook page.
Okay, so I think this one's actually harder than I think you think it is. All right, let's just talk her through. She is, first of all, she's an undocumented immigrant, brought into the country when she was 2. She didn't choose it as a 2-year-old. Maybe I have to explain that to the right wing.
No, 2-year-olds, you know, they make those decisions on their own. They somehow miraculously cross the border without their documents, and then they stay here for the rest of their lives. I mean, at 2 years old, you have the ability to do that, right? So let's go ahead and punish them and harass them and treat them as if they're like subhumans.
So
anyway,
Representative Steve King on TV today literally referred to dreamers and said that they chose to break the law in America.
Yeah, Representative Steve King is the scum of the earth, okay? And so are the people who decided to vote such a hateful person into the office, Really, children as young as 2 knowingly came into the country illegally. Dreamers, specifically dreamers, are people who were brought into the country without their consent, without knowing what was going on, because they came in as children. Like, if you're unable to see that, I mean, I don't know what else to say to you.
Yeah, so in this case, Paola was 2. This is her case. So, of course, I agree on all that. So, she is an undocumented immigrant. He points out that she's an undocumented immigrant and puts up her picture. Do I think it's a bad idea? Absolutely, terrible idea. It could lead to her harassment, and it could even maybe even in the Trump era might even lead to her deportation. What a horrible, horrible thing to do to somebody who's, this is the only country she's ever known. You would send her back to a place she never grew up in, doesn't know. I don't know if she knows the language. I don't know which country she's from. So it's such a terrible thing to do.
So first of all, at the moment she's protected by DACA. So
yeah,
you're not going to get her deported because DACA hasn't, you know, stopped protecting her yet. Okay, obviously there's still a little bit of time before Congress needs to act.
But so, it could happen as quickly as 6 months.
That's true. It could happen as quickly as 6 months if, you know, Congress doesn't reach a deal, or if, you know, Trump continues going back and forth on this issue. But look, put the deportation part of it aside, because at the moment she's not at risk of deportation. But here's what did happen. She started receiving significant harassment from all of these random people who don't know her. And he is the person, her peer is the person who directed all this harassment toward her, right? You can't have that. Like, what is wrong with that guy? Really, like, are you, you have that much free time that you're gonna create this campaign to harass a fellow student?
Yeah, no, of course. Look, it was a terrible thing to do. But the question is, should he be expelled for that? And he's pointing out that she's undocumented. She is undocumented. She doesn't deny it. And you know, him encouraging others to do something about it is the part where I think you've got a really great case that is harassment. So I just think that it's a little bit tougher issue. As an administrator, you know, this is where it's on the line. He didn't say somebody go assault her like Shkreli did with Hillary Clinton. But it was needless incitement. I just don't know if it means that you should be expelled at a school. And by the way, we don't know for sure that he was. He might have left voluntarily. By the way, if you're a progressive, Taylor Rag's name's all over the place and his picture's now all over the place. Don't harass him either.
Right, that's okay. Right. You know why? Because we're not dicks, okay? We're not unreasonable, illogical people that would direct any group to go harass someone simply because we disagree with anything that they're doing. Now, I completely disagree with what he's doing. And if I were an administrator at a university and I saw this type of harassment taking place, I would absolutely consider expulsion. And this is not about political speech. I have an issue with the fact that he has created a hostile educational environment for this student who has never caused any trouble, who hasn't bothered him in any way. He just needlessly, out of nowhere, decided to direct all this harassment toward her. Now, if he wanted to share his opinion about her in class while they're having a discussion about, you know, deportations or undocumented immigrants, I think that speech should happen and it should be protected, and I have no problem with that. My problem is him directing the harassment toward this student who has done nothing wrong and at the moment is protected by DACA.
Yeah, and so he might have thought, he might have seen in the news that where Trump, under the Trump administration, ICE has deported people who've spoken out about being undocumented who were not protected by DACA. So they gave political speech about how undocumented immigrants should be protected, and ICE would, we cover the story, ICE would come in and arrest them right afterwards and deport them. So, and I know that right wingers take great relish in that, but I understand exactly what you're saying, Anna. When he says, and it's a quote that she read to you, everyone go report this illegal at my school breaking the law. I worry that it's an incitement to action to go after her. At the same time, he didn't say assault her, he said report her. So I just think it's a little bit tougher, but he should have never done it in the first place. And I feel terrible for Paola to go through that kind of intimidation. And I certainly understand her worry about what might happen to her on campus. And she was also worried that the university didn't react quickly enough to it, which, as you can tell here, I don't know if they reacted quickly enough, but how they reacted, I have some sympathy for, because I think it's a pretty tough situation to be in.
Well, they have to go through protocol. You know, you can't just have a knee-jerk reaction. So I'm actually not that critical of how the university responded. You do have to go through the proper channels to ensure that you're not overly punitive. Okay, mm-hmm. So it is what it is. But my issue is that we now live in this environment where Trump has emboldened, like, kids. This guy's a kid, right? He's emboldened children to be this vicious toward one another, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, that we 100% agree on. So, if earlier we wouldn't have had a situation where people thought it was like a cool thing to do, to try to get people that they don't agree with removed from the country. I mean, and ripped away from their families and all that goes along with it. Trump has just made this country a much uglier place. And is it worse to see the racism out of the closet? Yes. I prefer they kept it in the closet because it has real consequences for real people.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin had asked for a government jet in order to travel to Scotland, France, and Italy for his honeymoon. Now, he rescinded that request after, of course, people raised their eyebrows because you're not supposed to use taxpayer funds for your honeymoon. But ABC News broke this story. They did a great report. We have a portion of it for you. Let's take a quick look.
Newly married this past summer, multimillionaire Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin formally requested that he and his new wife Louise, regularly seen in designer clothes with purses at $10,000 plus, be allowed to travel in style in a government jet on their honeymoon to Europe. At an estimated cost of $25,000 an hour, the price for taxpayers would have been several hundred thousand dollars.
They can't be expecting taxpayers to foot the bill for a Hollywood lifestyle.
But Mnuchin's honeymoon request was withdrawn after officials reportedly raised the issue of how it would look for a man worth more than $300 million to take a personal trip at taxpayer expense.
So also keep in mind that Mnuchin is now being investigated. At least some of his actions using taxpayer money have gone or are going through an investigation. So he triggered a review of his travel for using a government jet to travel to Louisville and Fort Knox, Kentucky last month. The inspector general is reviewing whether he improperly used that trip to catch a prime view of the solar eclipse with his wife. Now, Mnuchin's office, though, has strongly denied this. They're like, no, there's no way. It's all, you know, official business. However, keep in mind that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell met with Mnuchin during that trip and tweeted a photo of them watching the eclipse together, complete with proper eyewear.
So the reason why this has all got on the news in the first place is because his wife, Marie Antoinette, got off that government flight and bragged about all of her designer clothes and put it on Instagram as they were going to Fort Knox to check out all the gold that they would later steal. No, I'm just partially kidding. It's called tax cuts. It's wealth redistribution to the top, which is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, they land, she does all that, somebody criticizes her, and then she says, oh, how adorable. You know that we pay more taxes than you, so basically we have more of a right than you do to use government resources. Okay, so in that rant, she even talked about, like, do you think we'd take this Air Force to our honeymoon? She literally said that. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they did. They tried. They tried to take it to their honeymoon.
So they're alleging that she didn't know about the request for the government jet. I don't know if I believe that. I don't care. What I do care about is that our Treasury Secretary, who has become fabulously wealthy off of foreclosing on people's homes in an unlawful way, has the audacity to ask for taxpayers to foot the bill for his lavish lifestyle. If you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, how about you pay for your own private jet?
Okay, and he said as an excuse for the honeymoon request, well, we just wanted to make sure that he had proper communication with government officials in Washington if he needed. Because you can't have communication if you're on a plane with other humans. Ugh. No. You have to be on a fancy government plane.
He doesn't even need to be on a plane with other humans, right?
He can just take a private jet. He's worth $300 million.
Exactly. Okay. Like, it's just so brazen. Like, the fact that they put in that request is incredible to me. And I'm glad that they're being investigated for it.
So, look, credit to ABC News here, which I actually fairly regularly credit, because they're one of the few folks on TV who do investigations. And here it is again, Brian Ross and his team do a wonderful job of investigating this, finding this out. So great job by that. Check out the whole video, okay? Now, I'll add my little bit of speculation on top. So given that, so did they actually go to Kentucky on the original trip that got him in trouble to watch the eclipse? Absolutely, because here's what I looked at their excuses. They said, oh, we're going to visit Fort Knox. Why? Treasury Secretary doesn't have to physically look at the gold in Fort Knox to know that it's there. That's a preposterous excuse. And secondly, there was a talk of tax reform. Really, who were you talking tax reform with? Mitch McConnell. Then there's a picture of him and Mitch McConnell looking at the solar eclipse. Of course they went to go see the solar eclipse. You know what happened? He just got married. That's why this whole thing with the scandal about the honeymoon to this actress / model. And he's trying to impress her. He's like, oh, you want to go on Air Force and go on our honeymoon to Scotland, France, and Italy? I'm the new Treasury Secretary. Oh, you want to go and check out the solar eclipse in Kentucky? Let's just use the suckers that are the American taxpayers so I can impress you, because I'm 88 years older than you, but I have a lot of money and I have a lot of clout. Look. And she's like, oh my God, I love it. Let's go. Hermes and this and that, scarves, Hashtag adorable.
Yeah, I mean, he became wealthy by robbing Americans, and he will continue living a lavish lifestyle, or at least attempting to live a lavish lifestyle by robbing Americans. Draining the swamp, that's exactly what Trump did, right?
Yeah, they just got used to it. All right. Oh shoot, we're out of time. Okay. So listen, guys, here are the things that are happening in the world. Number one, for the radio guys, we love you. The show's almost over. But I want you to know that if you go to tytnetwork.com, if you're watching live now and you're already at the website, we're going to keep on going. We got more stories for you guys, including wonderful news out of China about the environment. And that's not a thing you say often, but we're happy to report that. Later tonight, you could all watch for free the first segment of Aggressive Progressive at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And if you want to watch our whole show, including the extra segment we're about to do, the post game and Aggressive Progressive, all commercial free, tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, and you'll get all the archives of all those shows as well. There was a great old school on last night. Mark Thompson brought some sort of weed beer or drink or something, but it doesn't get you high, so it's kind of pointless. Anyway, and apparently they had a legendary post game yesterday to check out. tytnetwork.com/join. For everybody online, we'll be back in just a couple of seconds. All right, back on the Young Turks. All right, guys, breaking news, and it is unfortunate. North Korea fires a missile over Japan. South Korea says just hours after threatening to sink the island nation. And Japan's defenses were triggered. I mean, it doesn't mean that they fired back, that they were just gave a warning, you know, and had their defense ready to go. And one of these days, those idiots in North Korea are going to try to fire a missile over Japan, and they're going to fuck up, and it's going to hit Japan. And then we're going to have fucking out of control, horrific goddamn war. So we would keep stirring that hornet's nest, and they keep stirring that hornet's nest. And Kim Jong-un is a spoiled little fucker who has never earned anything in his life, and he's a megalomaniac, and he thinks there's no consequences. Fuck, man, if they accidentally hit someone, Japan, Guam, South Korea, there's going to be consequences, and it's going to be for all of us. It's a disaster waiting to happen. You know the hydrogen bomb they just exploded? 17 times the size of the bomb we dropped on Hiroshima.
Wow. And so they have that capability.
They now
already
definitely have it. And Jesus. Hiroshima killed 100,000 people, the bomb in Hiroshima. And it's 17 times stronger. Now, the missiles they're firing don't have nukes on them. So, okay. But they do have the nukes, and they do have conventional missiles. Mm-hmm. So, God help us all. This is really bad.
All right. Let's do a little bit of good news.
Okay.
China has officially rolled out a plan to ban gasoline cars. And this is, of course, a very ambitious goal that they have, but they are extremely serious about it. In fact, the Deputy Minister of Industry and IT said that the ministry has started planning out a timeline for the end of petrol and diesel cars. China, just to give you a sense of how huge China is when it comes to the automotive market, sold 28 million cars last year. That's a third of the 88 million cars and vans sold around the world. So they're a huge player. Ooh. And so if they plan on banning gasoline vehicles in a certain amount of time, that's going to have an impact on all these other countries that buy foreign cars.
So if you're GM or Toyota or any of these car makers, and all of a sudden one third of the entire market says, we're not going to buy those cars anymore, you know what you're going to do? You're going to stop producing them. Mm-hmm. So this is enormous. It has massive effect. So I don't often agree with the Chinese government, but this one is going to help tremendously. Look, but also proper context, China now is the leading producer of greenhouse gases in the world. We used to be the leading producer of greenhouse gases. We used to be number one. Thank God we're not anymore. But remember, China has four times as many people as the United States. Mm-hmm. So now that they've become more industrialized, they have all the consequences for that. And unfortunately, those consequences are worldwide. Now, it's local. The pollution is more direct. I mean, the greenhouse gases go and cause climate change, which has horrific consequences for all of us. But the pollution they can see with their eyes,
and they
breathe in every day, and it is absolutely out of control in their major cities like Beijing and Shanghai. So they're finally taking action on it, and it's significant action. So this is very good news for the world.
Right, and it goes further than wanting to outlaw gasoline cars. They are also ensuring that they build the necessary infrastructure for, let's say, electric vehicles. So to give you an example, they're on track to build a network of 800,000 electric vehicle charging points by the year's end. So they want to make it incredibly convenient for those who do have electric vehicles to charge those cars and not have to worry about losing the electricity necessary for them to run. And I love that. I love how serious they are. I love that they are, you know, contributing and allocating the necessary resources for that infrastructure. We could learn a thing or two when it comes to that.
Yeah, so last thing I wanted to say about that is that, look, there's plenty of corruption all across the world, certainly in China, but also here. And if you watch the movie Who Killed the Electric Car, you know that one of the things that the car companies did was they sometimes would buy and then dismantle the infrastructure needed for electric cars here in the United States. And that set this country back decades in getting better on climate change. And then, by the way, also having cars that run on cheaper energy sources. So, and the oil companies must have been thrilled about that too, etc. And so the corruption here allowed them to do that, because here in America, you could legally bribe politicians. You just call it campaign donations or independent expenditures. And they don't work for the public. They work for private interests because they're financed by private interests. So the giant car companies did institutional corruption in the United States that set back the whole world. Now, in China, where there is plenty of corruption otherwise, they're saying, well, you can't do that. The government has just decided, sad day for you, we're getting rid of all those cars. And yes, we're going to put in the infrastructure for electric cars so that we can make this possible.
All right, one more story for you guys. Student loan debt continues to be a huge economic burden for people in the US. And as a result, now there are certain financial organizations that are trying to encourage employers to offer student loan debt payments as a benefit. So Fidelity is an example of that. Fidelity Investments just recently introduced a program that will let employers make regular payments to their employees' student loan accounts, much the way companies already pay into their workers' 401ks or healthcare savings accounts. So a spokesperson at Fidelity said the following, we've seen big demand for a benefit like this from both large companies and small. It's a significant tool that can be used to recruit new employees and retain existing ones. So right now, the workforce is increasingly becoming concerned with benefits. And some people are even putting off investing in 401ks or retirement plans just so they can pay off their student loan debt. And so I love that Fidelity Investments realized that, hey, maybe there's a tool that we can provide for employers, and it could be a good tool to bring in, you know, talented, skillful workers.
So it's a good program. It is also a little bit of optics. It's a way to get millennials to be more incentivized to work for you, because that's their immediate need, and it's very real, and it's significant. But it really doesn't help that much. I mean, you could either give them a higher salary, or you can pay off their student debt. Now, what would help is if the government passed a law saying that employers can pay off that debt pre-taxes, as they do with the 401ks. Mm-hmm. So that already exists for 401ks, and that's why people put into 401ks. Because obviously, if you've got, you know, $100 as your salary, and you're going to pay $30 of taxes on it, or whatever you pay, $15, etc., you're going to have less money to put into your 401k after taxes. Mm-hmm. So putting in pre-taxes is clearly an actual advantage. And if you did that for employers getting rid of student loan debts for their employees, that would could be really beneficial. Mm-hmm. But that requires government action.
Yeah, it does, and that's not going to happen.
So that would require the government to care about students.
That would require the government to do something, anything.
Anything okay? That's helpful to the public
yeah,
at all.
Which, you know, it seems unlikely. And that's not just a knock on the Trump administration. There was a lot of that in Congress during the Obama administration as well. So I don't have a lot of hope for that. Anyway, just to give you a sense of, like, this is like in its very early stages, because there aren't a lot of employers who are doing this. So I don't want to make it seem like, oh, employers are like falling over each other trying to pay off student loan debt for people. That of course is not happening, but it is a tiny fraction of companies, just around 4% now offer student loan repayment programs.
I like the idea that you set up of companies falling all over each other to be like, I gotta help you with student loan debt. Please, yeah. Please let me help you.
Yeah, we live in America, no one wants to help anyone.
Right. So but here again, good news that it's at least a trend that has started, and those larger companies that have a lot more resources have begun to realize, hey, it's to our advantage to get these smart employees, and that's why they went to college, and that's why they have a ton of student loan debt, and maybe this is a good way to do it. And if the government can actually pass the law, it would actually be significantly helpful rather than kind of shifting the money around. Okay, all right, we're out of time for the regular show. We do have, of course, as always, an excellent post-game show. One is ever not excellent, but apparently yesterday was extraordinary because they didn't have me. Anyway, go check that out, TYT.
So sensitive.
You know, I have feelings too. TYTnetwork.com/join.
Bye-bye.